Hillary wants to abolish, essentially abolish, the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
happiness is a warm gun. Happiness is a warm gun. Yes, it is.
Well, just a quick reminder, you know, while we're focused on the phallic symbols flying through the air, the completion of the theft of a Supreme Court seat completed this morning. Judge Neil Gorsuch is now he's the benefactor of the great crime. And again, as I said earlier, crime does pay, evidently, because now they've gotten their justice. They've gotten their court justice. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about how our media has been focusing on the bombing in Syria and how we went that way. And look, you can't turn on a cable news without seeing rockets flying in the air. And I can't help but think about George Carlin's, bigger you-know-what theory. Anyway, here to talk about that, I've asked Eric Bollert, senior fellow over at Media Matters for America. Eric, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, again, I couldn't turn on the TV without seeing missiles flying through the air. Proud moment.
Well, it was very short term, right? I mean, within 24 hours, we found out that the airfield was operational. We found out that Russia knew about it. Russia told the Syrians. The Syrians presumably moved their planes out of the way. I mean, the whole thing melted very quickly. And you mentioned that, you couldn't turn on TV and see lots of excited chatter. You know, I kind of think they didn't really have very good images in terms of the Trump White House. I mean, we saw that stock footage of those Tomahawk missiles leaving the ships, but there was nothing. There weren't any good images on the ground. There were certainly no embeds, for instance, like Bush's Iraq War. So I think this is all kind of going nowhere for Trump in terms of politics, if that's what all this was meant to be. But look, anytime the United States drops bombs, it's a big deal, and the press, immediately ushers the generals onto the sets, and they explain why it's such a great idea and why we should be doing more of it. But I have to say that initial euphoria we saw in the media, I think it got tapered down pretty quickly when we realized what was the point of this exactly.
No, there wasn't much of a point. But here's the thing: we've been dropping bombs for years. I mean, our media doesn't. When we drone things, the media doesn't cover that every day.
Yeah. And look, and so the narrative became, well, Trump had this kind of epiphany, right? He saw these images, these horrific images of the chemical attack. Well, this is the third chemical attack since Trump was sworn in. And, of course, we know he tweeted 18 times in 2013 about how Obama and the United States shouldn't get involved in anything to do with Syria after chemical attacks then. It's interesting. What I find more kind of upsetting or disturbing is this never-ending search for the quote-unquote presidential Trump, right? And it's like looking for the Loch Ness monster. I mean, you're just wasting your time. But the media sends out these search parties every couple of weeks with their binoculars. And after Trump's address to the Congress in February, a lot of people said, "Aha, aha! We see him." But that turned out to be kind of a joke because he continued to act in a childish behavior for months after that. And now after, he does a 180 on his foreign policy and decides to drop $100 million worth of bombs, a lot of excited pundits said, he's done it. He's elevated himself. He's serious and he's statesman. But he's not, and it's kind of a joke for them to pretend that he is.
Yeah, and then he went golfing.
Of course. Golf. Here's an interesting point about the golfing thing. Everyone has pointed out the Republican Party, had these phony outrage attacks when Obama went golfing and things like that. At this point in Obama's presidency, in first week of April 2009, he had gone golfing exactly zero times, and Trump is already up to 13 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah, but the country was in real crisis.
Oh my gosh, it was in a huge crisis, and of course. Obama wasn't going to go golfing. I mean, it looked absolutely ridiculous. So it would have been the wrong thing to do. And Trump doesn't care about any of that stuff. And, you know, places like the Daily Caller and Washington Examiner, I mean, they couldn't stop writing about the Obama family travel expenses. They couldn't stop, which were nothing out of the ordinary, couldn't stop writing about how often he went golfing. And, you know, it just kind of reveals the utter hypocrisy and all this stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know how much we're going to spend on Malia living in New York and the Southern White House and golf trips to all of the Trump properties. Here's the other question. Do we have to pay his fees when he goes and plays on courses that he lives in, he plays, that he owns? Do we have to pay his accommodations? Do we pay all that to him?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the tab is just astounding. I mean, it's just, you know, he donated his first quarter of his salary, right, $74,000 to the national parks or something.
Yeah.
That came out to, I think, 4 hours of what the security costs to make sure Melania doesn't have to live at the White House. I mean, it's just, all of it is just off the charts. But again, this is part of, you know, this is why the press should never, ever treat him as normal. You know, back to the Syria and the presidential. You know, the press is so anxious to kind of drag him into the mainstream, drag him into, we don't have to call him a nut job. We don't have to pretend he's a radical incarnation of a president that we've never seen before. They want him so badly to be inside the ring, and so they could just kind of rest easy and just say, okay, he's kind of eccentric. But he won't do it, and they just seem desperate to make him presidential.
As a guest earlier pointed out, you know, you look at the LA Times, who did that four-part series on how just insane he is, and then only to turn around and say, well, we give him a B for the week. You go, wait a second, how can he be absolutely insane and then get a B grade?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that LA Times series was great, but I had to shake my head because the jumping off point on the first headline or the sub headline was something, or even the lead in the first paragraph, it was basically saying no one could have imagined that Trump would be like this as president. I'm just like,
yes, we could.
We all did. No one in the press could. No one wanted to admit it. Everyone wanted to focus on emails and Hillary, and she doesn't smile enough. We all knew what a train wreck this would be for this country.
Like he said, you know, who knew healthcare would be that complicated? All of us.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice that the LA Times is, you know, again, everyone should read that, and it puts it in very good context. He is detached from U.S. history. He is detached from American politics. He's detached from the way people behave going to work every day in this country. Yeah. I mean, he is so outlier. And that's how he should be treated every day in the press. And there shouldn't be this knee-jerk response to try to finally anoint him as normal.
Yeah, and that's important because, you know, there's nothing about him that would give me the impression that he recognizes what it's like to be the average American and the people who voted for him. And, you know, and maybe this is just, you know, me, but I look at his statement that, you know, it was the babies. He had this grand epiphany, this moment of clarity where it was the babies. And I'm going, I don't see you as someone with a soul. I don't buy the baby argument.
Well, you know, the press certainly loved that argument. And the New York Times the next day did this front page piece saying Trump was suddenly leading with his heart. We, you know, the AP did a story about how all the world's problems were sinking in. You know, he supposedly had this Grinch-like moment where his heart grew three sizes in one day. It doesn't add up because he spent a year demonizing in the most disgusting way possible Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
He demonized the people who were trying to escape that living nightmare. He demonized them. His son compared them to a bowl of Skittles. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Heartless, just heartless. So you can't buy into this narrative that Trump couldn't sleep at night because of these Syrian refugees when he's ridiculed and portrayed them as terrorist sympathizers for the last year. But, you know, the press seemed to be more than willing to make that leap for him.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, you know, how is it that the opposition is now, maybe it's some kind of form of Stockholm syndrome, maybe, that we have a press that, you know, wants him to be presidential, wants to be able to cover him like they have.
You know,
I don't know.
I, I think what a good argument is, it's exhausting for them. So I think there are lots of reasons why they don't want to have to call him radical, right? It's part of the liberal media bias thing. They get very nervous when they call Republicans radical or you know, things like that. But I also think part of it is it's just exhausting. They want him, fine, be eccentric, be right-wing, just kind of be normal. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, we're 12 weeks in, everyone is exhausted. People cannot conceive how they're going to cover this guy if he stays for 4 years. So I think that might be a small 20 or 30% of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're projecting this hope that it will just kind of die down and we can all get back to business as
can't
usual.
We just go
and
back
it ain't going
to
happen.
Yeah, can't we just go back to the 9-to-5 world where everything was done for us? I get that. Yeah, you're right. But here's the thing. Everyone keeps saying it's 3 months. No, it's not 3 months yet. 3 months is in 10 more days.
Yeah.
Exhausted. I mean, even someone who's a political junkie like I am, who, you know, every day I'm reading this and I'm checking this and, you know, I'm going, you know, enough already. Stop. You know, a break. Sunday, something.
Yeah, no, and then newsrooms feel the same way, and Sundays are now just a cornucopia of news events, and they're hiring more people, which is great for the, you know, it's nice to see newsrooms hiring people, but it is exhausting, and here's the thing, it's exhausting when you do it with the whole time in the back of your mind, how do I not offend Republicans? How do I make sure I don't get beat up for calling for being too mean to Trump? Because everyone has to realize when they go to work every day and they're covering this radical kind of hateful agenda, one misstep can cost you your career in Washington, D.C. If you become the target of a right-wing smear campaign because you were mean to Donald Trump, if you float or the phrase that is deemed out of bounds, you know, people's careers have been ruined for that. So it's a combination. It's exhausting, but it's exhausting knowing there's a line that you cannot cross. And people, it's very nerve-wracking to try to cover someone this unusual and this out of the norm, knowing there's this army of kind of right-wing radical zealots that want to end your career if you describe Trump the wrong way. Yeah. So the combination of those things, it's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and they're well-funded as well. Don't forget about that. They don't seem to run out of time or money. Yeah. I did want to get your thought on one last thing before I let you go, the O'Reilly thing.
Because there's
a moment where you start going, you know, because, you know, none of this stuff to me is new. I mean, all of these sexual harassment allegations have been swirling around O'Reilly for years. Why now?
Interesting point. So, look, it's always tough to figure out why something's going to catch fire. Glenn Beck, for his first 6 months on his Fox show in 2009, said 25 things that should have got him fired or lost advertisers. But it's when he called Obama a racist with a deep-seated hatred for white people that just flipped the switch and Color of Change started the ad boycott. And a year later, Glenn Beck didn't have a show. He had the same audience, but he didn't have a show because they couldn't sell the ads. So O'Reilly is facing two model crises. He's facing the Ailes model crisis, which means we're seeing revelation after revelation of horrendous, misogynistic, sexual harassment behavior. And people thought when this first broke, the Ailes story broke last year, well, Ailes is untouchable. Well, Ailes was untouchable until he wasn't. In July, he was out. And so there was another revelation over the weekend about a woman coming forward who, from within the Fox family, saying, this is the way O'Reilly treated me. So he's got to survive that. I don't know if he can. Now he's got the Glenn Beck model where he's losing every national advertiser. Glenn Beck could never turn that around. Rush Limbaugh has never been able to turn around when advertisers left him. So, you know, I've been covering O'Reilly for a long time. I've never predicted he would be out of a job or anything like that. But I'm not sure how he survives this Ailes model, which is tick-ticking.
Yeah.
And I really don't see how he survives the Glenn Beck model because, you know, a week ago he was running 18 minutes of ads on the O'Reilly Factor. Friday night he ran 6 minutes of ads.
Wow.
That money is disappearing.
Wow.
And they can run his show as a charity if Rupert Murdoch wants to do that as a favor to Bill O'Reilly. But But it's also a public company. And at what point are they just going to run the 8 o'clock hour, the most important hour on Fox News, and basically not make any money? I don't think they're going to do that for very long. So he's in serious trouble. It doesn't matter if he doubles his audience tomorrow. If you can't sell ads, the audience doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, his audience has actually gone up because one of the things the right does do is they will defend, you know, like even Donald Trump came out and defended it.
Right. And frankly, Donald Trump coming out and defending it was the worst thing that could have happened to the Fox News sales team. Because if there are advertisers on the fence, and Donald Trump, of all people, comes out and says, oh, this, and talks about sexual harassment, they just lost 8 more advertisers that day, I guarantee you, because Trump threw his weight behind O'Reilly. So nothing is going right. And if you look at these boycotts with Glenn Beck, with Breitbart, they've lost 1,200 advertisers. Rush Limbaugh. Once advertisers wake up to this kind of sewage that they're connected with on the right-wing media, once the exodus begins, it doesn't end.
Yeah, and once
the
advertisers
come back, and O'Reilly's in trouble.
Right. Once the advertisers realize that people are paying attention and may not use their service or their business because of it, and that's where boycotts work really well.
Yeah, and social media has been amazing, and this, you know, Glenn Beck hung around for a year before Fox said this isn't working. You know, everything has just accelerated every year in terms of media time. That was 2009 through 11. We're 2017. Trump, O'Reilly, if he doesn't turn this around, he ain't going to stick around for a year, I'll tell you that.
Well, maybe we can send him a box of loofahs and some falafels.
Exactly.
There you go. Eric, I appreciate you taking some time for us, sharing some of your thoughts.
Okay, have a great week.
Great talking with you, Eric Bollert, Media Matters for America. You want to check out their website? We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
So that's how it is. That's what we got. If the president wants to admit it or not, you can read it in the paper, read it on the wall, hear it on the wind if you're listening at all. Get out of that limo and look us in the eye. Call us on a cell phone, tell us all why. In Dayton, Ohio, or Portland, Maine, or a cotton gin out on the great high plains. It's done closed down along with the school and the hospital and the swimming pool. Dust devils dance in the noonday heat. There's rats in the alley and trash in the street. Gang graffiti on a boxcar door. We can't make it here anymore.